All right, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast. My name is Tom, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts, check them out. They appreciate it. I appreciate it. We all appreciate it. Good morning. Good morning. Another Monday, May 10th. May the 10th be with you. May every day be with you. Beautiful Monday morning. Great weekend. Hope everyone's doing well. The weather is iffy at best, but it's not cold. Really, honestly, the cold is all that really matters. Got up, had a nice run this morning with Brian. Banged out 5 miles. It was perfect. Definitely needed that. Ate like shit all weekend. Thank God for running. Still, you know, I shared that my wife and I quit using tobacco. That still sucks. Grinding through it. It does suck. I hate quitting shit, especially stuff I love. And I love dipping. I don't really see, problem is I don't see a lot of problems with it. Right? You know, it's not like, you know, when I drank, I got drunk, I fell down. Like my wife says, you fell down and went boom. You know, and all the other hundreds of issues that came along with drinking, it was easy to see that quitting the alcohol was a good idea. Eating too much sugar, you know, you get fat or you get unhealthy or whatever it is you do, you get cavities or whatever. And it's easy to see that, you know, a change, you know, needs to happen. But when with chewing tobacco, you know, my teeth have all the warning signs that are on the can of dip have not happened to me yet. And I'm not doubting that they wouldn't if I continued. But they have nothing bad has happened to me. I haven't lost any teeth. I haven't gotten any cancer. Thank God. Knock on wood. I mean, for the most part, everything's been fine. Other than, you know, I spent, you know, God knows how much money on the shit. And yeah, you know, just the shame and guilt that comes with anything like that. You know, I don't want people to know I dip. Oh, that's so, it's dirty. So, you know, it is what it is. But, you know, my in-laws went out of town this weekend and they asked us if we would stay at their house and watch grandma because grandma is, you know, 98 years old. And so, of course, we stayed over there. I'm not sure if there was an option. I tried to find an option. I tried to find a way out. I tried to maneuver my way out of it. But you know what? I ended up staying over there for the weekend, and it was fine. But, you know, it's tough enough when you're staying at a house that you're unfamiliar with, sitting on a couch, watching TV, relaxing in a house that you're unfamiliar with. And on top of that, you know, quitting a serious addiction, which is tobacco. And I got to give my wife a lot of credit because she's doing quite well considering she's quitting smoking. But what I learned about tobacco is that, and of course it makes sense, but like when I put a dip of this tobacco in my lip, you know, that shit sits in there for like an hour. I just sit and let it, you know, put its poison into me through my lip. And I just sit and hang out, watch TV and relax and have this dip in my lip and watch TV. And so, I mean, I could leave this dip in my mouth, I don't know, half hour, 45 minutes, an hour, I don't know. So when you quit, or when I quit, now I have this, it's not like I go outside and, you know, quickly smoke a cigarette. I'm sitting with this dip in my lip for like an hour. So I'm left with these big chunks of time where I'm fidgety. You know, I need something to do. And, you know, then, of course, I'm quitting something that I can't really see any real problem with. The only reason I'm quitting is because I told my wife if she quit smoking, I'd quit dipping. So being supportive. I fucked up. Because now I got to quit. And at this point, you know, she asked me last night, have you dipped? You know, because we watch a lot of Instagram. You know, we're on Instagram and there's these reels. And it's funny. They're like, no one will know. No one will ever know. You know, if you've seen reels, you've probably seen the. It's silly. But we always say that to each other. No one will know. No one will ever know. And no one would know, except we would know. And no one would know if I dipped, except for the problem is I would know. And I told her, I said, you know, I've come too far now. I don't want to quit once and then quit again. And we're, so I think, I don't know if today makes a week or Friday made a week. But we're about a week into it, and we're both still doing good. She's doing great, and God bless us, you know, whatever. But so that's, you know, the weekend, we're doing great, but it's also been a bit testy, you know, and we've gotten in a couple of little arguments, and we got into one yesterday. And I don't know if it was just the topic or if it was the fact that we were both jonesing. But, you know, it got a little heated, a little bit loud, nothing dramatic. But my son left his bike down in Rehoboth. So I said, you know, fuck it, I'm out of here. I got my keys and I just drove down to the town and picked up his bike and gave it a break. And then, you know, my daughter was with her in-law or with my in-laws all weekend. So when she came back, you know, I got back. So when my wife got back, because she had to go get Teresa, you know, my daughter ran in, Daddy, and was like, you know, I missed you. And just kind of neutralized any fighting that was going on. And so we're good. You know, everything's fine. Another gift of being sober. Another gift. Maybe it wasn't I'm sorry about last night, but maybe it was I'm sorry about 5 minutes ago. And I told her, I go, you're still a pain in the ass. And she goes, you are too. And I said, true that. And we are. We're humans, right? Nothing's easy. But you try to work through it. And, you know, it's funny if you find that you can get into a program and work the steps and live that lifestyle of that serene lifestyle. You know, people are like, man, you are laid back, right? And it's true, you know, because we choose to not let the stupid stuff drive us crazy. And that's kind of like the fight we had yesterday. We had the fight. We took our stepped back, both did our thing. I went and got Dave's bike. She went and picked up my daughter. And then when we got back, we shelved it. And yeah, that's nice.
No, it sounds funny, but I just can't stand the pain. Girl, I'm leaving you tomorrow.
Remix, Faith No More, great band. Saw them in San Diego at the Bacchanal probably 1993, 2, something like that. Oh, great show. Great band. Super talented. You know, I was thinking, getting ready to try to start a new podcast. I've talked about it a little bit. I'm very into this Van Nystad. He has a YouTube channel and he's called The Spirited Man. And I love The Spirited Man YouTube channel. And I love the idea of being a spirited man or a woman. And, you know, I met this guy I don't know if you have kids, but, you know, one of the things about having kids, and for me at least, as at one time just a single dad raising two boys, you try to stay involved and do stuff that they like to do. And probably 5, 6, 7 years ago, my oldest son, David, wanted to do BMX. And I said, all right. And I had raced BMX when I was a kid. So I was like, I'll do it. Signed up, raced in the over 40. And we had a lot of fun until I fell. And then I was like, had the sense knocked out of me. And I was like, you know what? I can't do this because, you know, my business as a hairstylist, you know, I need my hands, I need my legs. And I had that moment where I was like, geez, I really need to protect these things or I could lose my livelihood. So we stopped racing and he was, you know, he liked the idea, but neither one of us were super into it. You know, it's just, we were being spirited. You know, we were out there just giving it a shot. No reason why we couldn't. We didn't have to win. We didn't have to be the best. We didn't have to have the best bikes or the best gear. We just wanted to go out and have fun. Oops, sorry. Have fun and do it. You know, a son doing something with his, or a father doing something with his son. We had a lot of fun. But there was a lot of great people at the track. And it reminded me of growing up as a kid where we used to spend a lot of time at the BMX track and a lot of families and, you know, just a great way to grow up. So, you know, you see the cool kids at the track. And one of the cool kids was his guide by the name of Ed Lowry. I think I'm saying his last name, Lowry. But, you know, older guy, military, awesome BMX racer, great on the bike, you know, fearless. And, you know, he's that guy when you start something new, like whether it's a BMX or target shooting, whatever it is, deer hunting, there's always that good guy, the guy that's like, oh, shit, that guy's really good. That's how this guy Ed was. And, you know, we became sort of friends. I'd ask him some small time, you know, oh, what kind of pedals are those? Or, you know, where'd you get those pants? Or, you know, just trying to fit in as an adult over 40, trying to fit in with the cool kids, right? And, but he was cool and he was nice and he helped us a lot. And him and I became friends through Instagram. And, you know, we're not going out to dinner, but it's funny in this life that we live in 2021, you have friends and then you have your social media friends, your friends that you follow and you like, and you almost feel a sort of responsibility to them, even though, and this happens sometimes with people I've never met, you know, they're just my social media friends and you feel this sense of responsibility. You got to like their stuff and you want to support them. So even though Ed and I have met and been friends in person, I follow him on Instagram. And so he, you know, I'd done something and he commented and I go, you know, Ed, you should really come on my podcast. And he's like, I'd love to. And, you know, I've been wanting to start this new podcast called Spirited Men or something of that, you know, nature, you know, three spirited men or something like that. I don't want to take away from Van Nystad's YouTube channel. Not that I would, because it's excellent. I suggest anybody go check it out. It's Van Nystad on YouTube, Spirited Man. He's fantastic. And, you know, I don't want to jump on that, but I love the premise of a spirited person. And, you know, my buddy Ed, he comes off as a spirited guy. And then the guy that I run with in the morning is Brian Kelman. He is a spirited man. He's a spirited guy, right? He runs with me a couple days a week. He rides bikes. He owns a bike shop. He's a father. He's a husband. You know, it's not what I can't do. It's what I can do. But he has all the same problems as the rest of us. But he's just, you know, I run with them in the morning and our conversation isn't full of poor me, I can't do this. It's like, yeah, another great week. What are we going to do? Yada, yada, yada. So Brian is a good friend. And then Brian texts me the other day. And he's like, I got this guy, E-Bike Eddie. And this is a guy, another spirited man, right, that has a YouTube channel, Shreddy McShred, I think it is, Shreddy McShred. I'm not sure. I'll find out. But he's into reviewing e-bikes, and he lives right around here. He lives in the in our town. And Brian mentioned to Ed about Eddie, E-Bike Eddie, about the podcast and, you know, coming on it. And he was like, I'd love to. But this is another guy. And, of course, I called him on the phone. Just a great guy, right? Spirited. You know, he's got this niche where he's very good at it. Let me give him a proper shout out real quick. Okay, so his YouTube channel is Shreddy McSkate. Shreddy McSkate. And it's pretty funny. But he's gotten this niche where he reviews these e-bikes, and he does such a nice job. All these e-bike companies are sending him bikes, and he's like now become E-Bike Eddie. And, you know, I love it. So I talked to him on the phone. He's upbeat. He's like taking on the day. He is spirited. So at 10 o'clock, both of those guys, Ed from the north and E-Bike Eddie from the south, are coming here. We're going to meet. We're going to do a podcast on the Rehoboth Social. But the premise of the podcast and the conversation is going to be about starting a new spirited podcast. And, you know, I love the spirited idea, you know, through the pandemic and whatever, the last year and a half, you know, a lot of things have been revealed, a lot of unhappy people, a lot of weird jobs, not people not making enough money. Racism is still a big thing. You know, tension between races, I guess, is a big thing. I don't know, according to the news. If I walked outside, I have trouble finding this problem, right? I know it's a problem. I can't fix it. I'd love to fix the problem that we have in our country with race. I would think that I'd love to be able to fix that. I can't. I don't know how. I'm sorry. But I'm kind of tired of feeling bad about it. I just want to move forward, and I want to start. What I love about the title of spirited, it doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter your gender, because you can be a spirited woman, right? I mean, you can be a spirited kid. You know, most kids are spirited. You know, if I look at my daughter, Teresa, and she's running through the yard, spinning a towel in the air and saying that she's a tornado, she's clearly spirited. She has not let life come across and start grinding her down yet. And she's only 8, right? And my son, Sam, he's spirited. You know, David, 15, going on 16, he's working and, you know, money shows up and you can see life just starting to, you know, soften those crisp edges. And but he's still spirited. But I love the idea of being spirited, because you can be whatever color you want. You can have gone through all the shit, because I may be a privileged white person, I guess, but I can tell you what, I took away a lot of my own privileges by my own bad behavior. You know, I lived a life of drugs and alcohol, and I was picked, you know, when I lived out in San Diego, if I was on my bike, riding my bike down the road, I was getting pulled over by a cop because I was on a bicycle. And in that area at that time, most people that were tweaking on methamphetamine like I was were riding around on bicycles and had long hair, and I was arrogant. And I was arrogant. I'm not saying that everybody out there is arrogant. I just, you know, and it would be some stupid thing, riding my bike on the wrong side of the road, you know, not following the rules. And I would get pulled over. I was always getting pulled over by the cops. You didn't even want it. Like, if I was sitting in that one side of the road and I was looking over and I wanted to go to 7-Eleven and there was a cop there, I wouldn't go. One, I was probably high. Two, I probably had drugs on me. And three, I knew they would pull me over. So I know what it's like to live sort of in a kind of a life, but unfortunately, I had brought it all on my own. But what I love about the thought of being spirited is that, you know, I can put all that past behind me. You know, if I took a slice of that lifestyle and I handed it to you in a folder with a paper, you would say, oof, I don't want to really associate with this guy. But my life is what it is, and I did what I did, and I got caught and ended up going to jail and had to change my lifestyle and, you know, basically replaced meth with alcohol, and ended up being a major alcoholic, moving to Delaware, finally getting to a point in my life where I was sick and tired of it and got sober. Changed my ways, changed my life. And if you took a slice of my life this morning compared to a slice of my life in 1992, you would say they were two different people. You know, it's not about what I've done. It's just about who I am today. And today I'm a spirited 52-year-old man who wants to do the best he can and enjoy my life and be of service to people, whether it's through addiction or alcoholic or alcoholism, or just be a friend. You know, it is weird. You know, I run with my buddy Brian, and I'm 52, and I think he's like 34. And, you know, he talks about things, and these things that he talks about, and I'm like, you know, eventually, Brian, those kind of things aren't going to become a problem. You're just going to be like, whatever. Because at some point, for me, in the last few years, I've decided I'm not wasting time on this stupid shit. I'm going to focus on trying to make the last whatever 35 years I have of this life and make it the best I can. Luckily, I have a problem. I mean, a program, not a problem. A program that I work. But, you know, it's all about surrendering. Taking the high road. You know, when I'm wrong, hey, I'm wrong. When somebody else is wrong, still being like, hey, it's not important that you're wrong. Let's move on. Let's be spirited. And so I'm excited about starting this podcast, and I'm excited about doing it with these guys because they're spirited guys. And I don't know if it'll work. We're going to try it out. We're going to run it around a bit today, but I'm looking forward to that. You know, I know the first thing that, you know, I talked about the other day about a spiritual awakening. Oh, my God, if I turn this microphone off one more time, I'm going to flip out. I talked about the other day about being, you know, the spiritual awakening. You know, I don't know if a lot of us even know we're spirited. Right? Sometimes, I know for me, I had gotten into this habit where I would get up and I would start listing all the bad things, all the unfortunate things. And if I was going to do a four-step on my life at that time, the main thing would be is I didn't go to school. I gave zero amount of effort to anything that was really important for my future. And here I am with my face in my hands going, why me, God? I wanted to blame God, and I wanted an answer, and I wanted somebody else to fix it without me making a lot of effort. And that just doesn't happen. And when I take that kind of position, I'm constantly disappointed. Whoop, God didn't do nothing for me today. Whoop, God hasn't fixed anything for me today. Hell with God. That's not spirited. That's a victim. You know, spiritual awakening is a removal, for me, is the removal of self-centered fear. It's like getting fish and chips and peeling all off the fucking batter. And inside there is a nice, clean piece of me, right? It's always been there. In fact, you need a spirit for self-centered fear. Self-centered fear is almost like a mistletoe. It's a what's it called? Not a pathogen. It's a I forget the word. But it leeches on. It lives off people. It lives off things. Self-centered fear to me needs spirit. It's the food, right? It's the soil. Without the spirit, self-centered fear can't show up. So you know it's there. You know you have a spirit. It's trying to figure out how to get the fucking shit off of it. And luckily, I'm an alcoholic. You know, I got a 12-step program. I was talking to a guy. My son had a birthday party, and one of the fathers I was sitting there talking to, and, you know, it was like, he was talking about Russell Brand, who is like, you know, I guess he's an actor, a comedian or something. And he was talking about Russell Brand has a podcast about recovery. And he kind of has his own 12 steps and his own version of the steps. And if I'm screwing this up, I apologize. But he talked about like how Russell Brand's first step is I'm fucked up. Something to that nature. Just very, I'm fucked up. Okay. That's my first step. Instead of saying, we admitted we are powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable, he shrinks it down. He dumbs it down to as, I'm fucked up. And I was like, that's a shame. Because for me, the first step taught me so much. Because the self-centered addict, the deficiency in humility guy, would easily wrap the first step up and say, hey, I'm just fucked up. Okay, I'm fucked up. That's the first step. Fuck all what the words say. I'm fucked up. It's not true. It says, we admitted we were powerless. You know, there's some subtle things that are going on in there. We admitted. I told this guy at the party, I said, I think that might have been the first humble thing I'd done. I admitted. We admitted. And just the first word, we, set the tone. I shared this the other day. I got me here. I can't get out of here. It's going to take a we. It's going to take a group. So when Russell Brand or whatever, and if I'm saying this wrong, you know, I'm fucked up is his first step. Basically, I'm fucked up, okay? I admit it. No. Say we're fucked up and see if you want to say that out loud. Because now you're speaking for all of us. All of a sudden, it changes the fucking the atmosphere of the conversation. Because it wouldn't be fair for me to say, you know what, here's the new version of the first step. We're all fucked up. No, it's not the point. We admitted we were powerless. But I'm humbling myself and saying, listen, I'm admitting it. I'm a mess. We admitted we were powerless, that our lives had become unmanageable. And I've said many versions of this. My life became unmanageable to everybody else. We admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable because of alcohol. It doesn't say any of that. I point those things out because that's how I heard it. And when I hear it like that, it sets me in a different path, on a different mode, and I'm missing the point. You know, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable because of alcohol. Meant to me, oh, quit alcohol, it fixes everything. Nope, didn't. Big problem. We admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable to everybody else. There's some truth to that. You know, I've said it before. My life, I had more drinks in me. Life showed up, punched me in the face. I was embarrassed. I was full of shame and guilt. And then I took, like a chicken shit move, I hid in the hospital. And luckily, I got sober from it. But, you know, that was the truth. I didn't say, oh, my gosh, this alcohol. It's too much. I quit. No, I got fucking my ass kicked. But we admitted we were powerless. It takes a group. It takes it takes all of us. I'm fucked up. That's the first step. No, not fair. And, you know, I don't know what this guy was talking about. So if this isn't exactly Russell Brand's 12-step program, I apologize, Russell Brand, but the point is that, you know, the first word, the first two words, we admitted is probably the first time I recognized it would take a group to get out of this, and I needed to surrender if I was going to have any success, and it wasn't going to be the first or the last time I would be surrendering. You know, I got in that fight yesterday with my wife. I had to surrender. I had to eventually take a high road. I could have easily drugged that fight out until today. In the past, I would have easily had this fight so that we would still have tension about it today. And it'd be justified. Oh, justified. But yesterday, like, there's no justification for this. Okay? Let's get over it. Because I'm leaving here tomorrow. That fucking song is so good. You know, I told that guy yesterday, I think that part of my problem has always been that I have to do certain things to, and achieve them to make myself feel like I'm a success or I'm a good person. You know, and I was talking to this guy at the party, and I go, you know, I feel like everything that in society, all that we teach in society is, you know, what is it that our final goal is? Be a millionaire, right? You know, million, that means our life is good. Not a million, that means our life is not good. If we're not getting stuff that make us happy, our life is not good. If we're getting things, free things, recognized, that means life is good. And I think that it's all fucking twisted. You know, and this guy was telling me that, you know, their situation, his family life situation had changed, and now he's having to have the kids more. And of course, and I recognize that right away, boom, inconvenience. That's annoying. But that's the shit that creates character. I told him at 52, my only job is obviously to cut hair, but my only job is really to take care of my family. That's it. At 52, my responsibility is to take care of my family. Not go to the club. Not shop. Not be famous. Not make a millionaire. It's just to try to guide us through this life. I have to surrender. It's crazy. What time is it? What are we doing here? What are we doing, people? What is really going on? Do we have some time? Oh, shit. Uh-oh. Talk too much. All right, let me read. Let's do our daily reflections, and then I'm out. I'm out of here. Let's see what we got. I wonder what this is going to be. I think this is going to be helpful today. May 10th, free at last. I love it. Another great dividend we may expect from confiding our defects to another human being, is humility, a word often misunderstood. It amounts to a clear recognition of what and who we really are, followed by a sincere attempt to become what we could be. Higher road. I love that. Another great dividend we may expect from confiding our defects to another human being is humility, a word often misunderstood. It amounts to a clear recognition of what and who we really are, followed by a sincere attempt to become what we could be. 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, page 58. I knew deep inside that if I were ever to be joyous, happy, and free, I had to share my past life with some other individual. The joy and relief I experienced after doing so were beyond description. Almost immediately after taking the fifth step, I felt free from the bondage of self and the bondage of alcohol. That freedom remains after 36 years, a day at a time. I found that God could do for me what I could not do for myself. Word up. That is that's a great message. I hope everyone has a great day. Bye.